the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, Timon of Athens. Timon of Athens is, outwardly, at least, a war hero and a wealthy man. He's always giving away money and throwing feasts for his, who turn out to be, fair weather friends and to the obsequious townsfolk. In the opening act, Timon's servant, Lucilius, I think, wants to wed an old Athenian's daughter, and Timon pays for his servant to be of an equal value and an equal worth for her dowry. He pays the debts of a friend, in air quotes, saying, "'Tis not enough to help the feeble up, but to support him after." Mantis, meanwhile, is a churlish, as he's described, a cynical philosopher who calls out Timon's friends as knaves and derides their freeloading. Then there's Alcibiades, which I think I'm pronouncing wrong, but who knows, an Athenian warrior who's heading off to battle, but he doesn't head off before having some food and fun at Timon's table. And there's this great line about standing on ceremony where Timon says, ceremony was but devised at first to set a gloss on faint deeds. Hollow welcomes, recanting goodness, sorry air 'tis shown, but where there is true friendship, there needs none. Perhaps it's best described as prophetic words. Flavius, Timon's servant, tries to tell the guy that the money's running out, but Timon will not he just won't hear it. He won't hear the truth. At some point, some lords give him gifts, and Timon only returns the goodwill threefold, and Flavius the whole time is fretting about the increasingly empty coffers. Mantis has the last words of Act 1, where he says, "Oh, that men's ears should be to counsel death, but not to flattery." The play goes on in Act 2, where a senator discusses how giving to Timon is like coining money. Anything even of minimal value given to him is brought back with even greater rewards. That said, the senator wants the money Timon owes him, and so servants of the creditors arrive at Timon's demanding payment, and Timon is insulted by this, and is surprised to hear from Flavius that he's broke, even though he's been told numerous times by his good servant Flavius that, you know, the money's running a little low. Timon thinks it's really no big deal, he can sell his land, but Flavius tells him that all the land's mortgaged already to pay for everything that he's already done, and, you know, the creditors are closing in. Timon again says, you know, no worries, he's got friends, and all of his friends will back him up, so he sends out his servants to seek some cash from his old pals around town. Act 3 opens, and it's a big surprise. Timon's pals, they all refuse to help. Lucellus, I should flip through and check, but anyway, a friend from the feast, he says that he's not willing to lend money secured only by friendship, which is pretty much what Timon has been doing all along, and so... Anyway, one lord says he would have helped, but he just bought some land, so, you know, he really can't do it. He's a little stretched a little right now. If only he'd asked a few minutes before, maybe he could have done something. One lord is insulted that he's the last person to be asked, and that's why he won't help Timon. All kind of excuses, really. Once again, the creditors' servants, the servants to the creditors, go to Timon's place, with one of them embarrassed that his lord is wearing the jewels given to him by Timon, and now that lord is demanding payments. One servant at some stage has a great line. The devil knew not what he did when he made man politic. Ditto with a later line. Who can speak broader than he that has no house to put his head in? Such may rail against great buildings, which I think is a great line. And I blew the reading of that, so I'll do it one more time. Who can speak broader than he that has no house to put his head in? Such may rail against great buildings. I think that's a little bit better told. Anyway, the Senate, meanwhile, is planning to execute a soldier that Alcibiades, the warrior from the feast, the soldier that he knows. Alcibiades then pleads for the man's life because he says this guy's a valiant soldier. You know, he'll do good things for Athens. You know, you don't kill him. Let him serve in the army with me. And if he dies in, at least with some glory and honor. The Senate is insulted, though, by Alcibiades and banishes the warrior forever, prompting the soldier to vow revenge on Athens. Shades of Coriolanus, I think, at that point. Timon then invites all of his old friends and the creditors to his house for one last feast, and he gives this amazing grace that pretty much just insults everybody. And then he uncovers the dishes at the feast, which are revealed to only have warm water and stones. And so one of the guests says, one day he gives his diamonds, the next day stones, and it's... you know, just this amazing turn of events. And Timon curses Athens and all of humanity, in fact, setting up his mindset pretty much for the rest of the play as this misanthropic cynic who rails against humanity and the fact that no one's good. Everyone's betrayed him and how awful humankind is. Act 4 opens and Timon is destitute. He's leaving Athens and he heads in the woods to live in this cave. Flavius, his servant, resolves to find him and share what little money he has, and he's going to continue to serve as his servant because he thinks, you know, this guy deserves better than this. Timon, for reasons that escape me now, digs in the dirt in the woods and finds this treasure trove of gold. And Alcibiades arrives with his rebel troops and because he's launching his attack on Athens to avenge the soldier who was going to be put to death. And Timon gives Alcibiades some gold. Because that's Timon just is handing out gold even now, even though he rails against humanity. He also insults the two women mistresses with Alcibiades, whose names are Timandra and Phrynia? 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 If you're playing Jeopardy? I don't know. Anyway, they trade a few insults, and that is until Timon gives them a bit of gold, at which point they say, more counsel with more money, bounteous Timon. You know, so humanity is always bought and can put up with a lot of insults for a little bit of cash. Alcibiades is off to make war in Athens, as I said, and so he says, you know, I wish you well, old man. And then the churlish philosopher Mantis arrives, and Timon tells him how he hates him and hates all humanity, but hates Mantis. And in Mantis's words, he says, "The middle of humanity thou never knewest, but the extremity of both ends." Because he went from being this guy who had all faith in humanity and now has no faith. And, you know, there's a middle ground, really, and Timon has skipped that entirely. Eumenes offers food, but Timon says he would beat him if he could. He's not interested in that. Eumenes warns him that others will follow him and arrive at Timon's cave and will try and get his gold, and then he leaves. Of course, what happens after that? Bandits. Bandits show up, and Timon both gives them gold and taunts them about being bandits. The third bandit even says, he has almost charmed me from my profession by persuading me to it. It's a nice little scene about the bandits. Anyway, Flavius arrives, and he can't believe how far his lord has fallen, and he offers his master what money he has left. Timon can't believe that an honest man exists and is blown away by the fact that Flavius is an honest man. And after railing against all of humanity, he accepts that perhaps there is one honest man, and that's Flavius. But he gives him some money to retire on from the gold that he has. He says, "Don't stay with me. You know, there can be no comfort for me, you know, not even from the only honest man in the world. Just leave, take the money, and run, Flavius, because the world is awful. It's just really dark and angry and railing against the world." Anyway, Act 5 opens, and a painter and a poet who preyed on Timon's goodwill at the feast of the play's onset, they both are plotting to get Timon's gold, and so Timon reads through their pathetic ploy and gives them this massive beating instead of giving them gold, and all right, that's the turn of that. Anyway, Flavius returns to the cave with two senators, and they want to cut a deal with Timon because years before, he served the city as a war hero. I mean, he was a war hero, as I said. And they want Timon to lead their army against Alcibiades and fight off the rebels. But Timon cares not at all. He hates humanity and is too busy writing his epitaphs on the cave wall. So, you know, he's going to die soon, he says. He wants nothing to do with it. Everybody gets what they deserve, and Athens deserves to fall, and he cares not. And who cares? And railing against arg, humanity, yuck. Anyway, Alcibiades and his army are at the gates of Rome, of Athens, pardon me. The senators offer a deal to prevent his attack. Alcibiades can kill 10% of the town. In fact, he can decimate the town, as Shakespeare correctly uses the phrase, which is, you know, you always hear decimate, and this actually, he's playing the card. He's 10%. And so the senators say this is an orderly solution, and, you know, if you accept it, throw down your glove. Alcibiades does throw down his glove to accept this peace deal by agreeing to kill 10% of the population. Before entering the city, though, he hears of Timon's death and reads the epitaphs that were scrawled on the wall that a soldier has copied down from Timon's cave. And that's how it ends. It's a dark, dark play. It's very cynical. It's very misanthropic. Indeed, Timon assumes the handle of Misanthropos, at some point in the play, and as he rails against humanity, there's really no redemption from the idea and notion of this cynicalness, except perhaps Flavius, the one honest man, and maybe a part of Alcibiades who swears the gates of Rome of Athens that he will avenge the wrongs done to Timon as well. Pretty much, people suck. They take advantage, and then you die. It's a bleak thing. It's really not even a great read, to be honest. There's debate over how much Shakespeare wrote or rewrote. As it is, it's a lesser work, to be sure. If this was Entertainment Weekly, my review would be, say, C+. Timon of Athens, written somewhere around 1607 or 1608. The complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by me, Kevin Hannah.